Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hi, welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. This is your host, Allison, and I'm happy you decided to join me this evening, and I hope that everyone is doing well. We've got slight technical difficulty in the sense that we called our guest and we're not getting an answer. So she's the feng shui expert. I know enough about feng shui to be dangerous. But, you know, I can still discuss some things here about feng shui. And in the meantime, Seth's going to try to get her on the phone. So bear with us as we try to connect to our guests. Really, Maggie, if you're out there and you're listening, pick up the phone because you're on. So tonight's subject was about feng shui. And if you've ever asked yourself, does leaving the toilet seat up really cause you to lose abundance in your life? Or what is a poison arrow and how do I get rid of one? This is the show for you. And it'll be a better show if you get a hold of Maggie. But I know quite a bit about feng shui. It's the ancient art of placement that can be used to complement your decorating and optimize the way energy or chi moves through your home or business to best support your overall health, well-being, and happiness. Most of us already understand that our surroundings affect our well-being. But what do you do when things aren't quite right? How do you create a space in your home, office, or business to maximize its potential and create a place that looks and feels great? Well, this is where feng shui comes in, and it's really a fascinating thing to study. And I know that on some level that it's based upon numerology, and so that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm rather fascinated with it. But also, you know, being a spiritual person, you know, when I look at my home, I try to create that sacred space. I try to create a peaceful, harmonious environment for myself, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I've looked into feng shui and certainly done some adjustments in my own home to help me out with, you know, keeping my space, you know, with all the energy flowing in it. So let me give you a few things that I've done here that I think really are very, very helpful. Now, I know that a lot of you see when you're driving down the streets and whatever, you might see houses that have red doors. And, you know, sometimes it just seems like it sticks out like a sore thumb. But really there's a reason behind that, because the red door actually is almost like welcoming in a positive and good energy into the home. And those of you that don't have red doors, I don't know if you realize this, but if you maybe purchase a red flower, pot a couple of red flowers on either side of your door, or maybe put some red in your flower gardens on either side of your front door, and that creates the same thing of welcoming in the chi into your home. Now, how many of us have gone into, let's say, a shop, and we've heard the tinkling of bells as we've walked into, you know, whatever store it might be? Well, there's also a reason for that. That is another way of welcoming chi, positive chi, into your home. And what they say to do, you know, is get a group of three bells, and you would hang them on a red string or a red ribbon. And if you just, you know, put that at your door, when every time you open your door, you're inviting in some positive energy. You know, in these times, you know, especially with the economics the way that they are, the way that the, you know, how many of us are, you know, a certain amount of concern about our finances, you know, feng shui is really a wonderful way to, you know, maybe do some things within your home to help to shore up and keep abundance flowing into your home. Maybe some of you don't realize that your stove itself is really an integral part of keeping abundance in your home. And keeping that stove clean is really an important thing to do. You know, like you wouldn't want pots and pans and stuff stacked up high, and you certainly, you know, wouldn't want to keep a lot of junk on the stove. Definitely, that's one area in your home that you want to keep pretty squeaky clean, including the counters in your kitchen. You know, the one thing with feng shui, it's clutter, 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 clutter. So you need to take a look at your house. You need to take a look and see, you know, where do you've got the magazines piled up? You know, where is the furniture so tight in a room that you can barely get around it? You know, do you have junk all over the place? Well, one of the best ways to create a harmonious environment, to keep the chi flowing in your house, to even bring abundance into your house, is to deal with your clutter. You know, if you are not, my rule of thumb is if I haven't used it in eons, then it needs to go somewhere else. And so I try not to keep a lot of things on my shelves or all over the house. I tend to get rid of it or put it in storage. And maybe some of us have some rooms that are disasters. I know my husband, okay, and I have to admit my stepson, my husband has an office on the bottom floor. My stepson has his bedroom on the bottom floor. And, you know, I know that this is probably one of the worst places in my home for, you know, as far as feng shui goes, both of those things. I need to set a bomb off and just blow the two rooms up, really. Quite frankly, that's what I need to do. But it's important, even in the rooms underneath your home where you would ideally go and maybe store stuff that you're not using, to keep them clutter-free and keep them neat and tidy. You know, that's really an important key element in feng shui. Now, water features. You know, there's so many beautiful water features now in all of the stores. Just beautiful, fantastic water fountains. And I know that if Maggie was here, you know, she could exactly direct you as to what area of the house that you would want to place the water fountain to bring abundance into your house. I'm almost thinking it's in your northeast section, which is your money section. I might be wrong. You might want to look that up because like I said, I was expecting Maggie to be here and I just know enough about feng shui to be dangerous. But water fountains are really good for more than one reason. It's bringing abundance in, but also it's keeping the flow of energy in your house. And it also has a spiritual connotations to the actual water fountains, you know, to negate negative energy in your home. So the next time you're shopping and you see a beautiful little water fountain somewhere, it's really worth the investment, not only because it makes a beautiful sound, not only because they make them and they're so incredibly attractive, you know, the ones that they're selling, but also, you know, to actually bring positive energy and also, you know, negate the negative energy in your home. I would even suggest putting a water fountain maybe even center of your home, right in the middle section of your home. That's the heart of your home. So you want to be really careful about placement in that area. You want to keep that area, you know, fairly clear. Definitely no clutter in the middle of your home. But a water fountain would be a good thing there for bringing in and keeping positive energy around your home. Now, another cool thing, wind chimes. I think we have a caller, so I'm going to stop for a second. Who's calling? Hello? Hello, is anybody on the air? Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Maggie.
Well, Maggie, darling, where were you?
Well, I was sitting here waiting for a call, and I heard from my astrologer that Mercury's in retrograde.
Uh-huh.
Or not Mercury, I'm sorry, Venus.
Venus.
And I think it has to do with communication, so.
Well, I was sitting there with Seth called you, and I was like, okay, I told you that I know enough about feng shui to be dangerous. So
okay.
I thought, okay, I'm going to start throwing my dangerous stuff out there. Well, the things that I know and the things that I use in my home. But I was like, oh, my God, where is she? And I kept saying to Seth, try to get a hold of her. Did you call into the show or did he finally get a hold of you?
I did. Well, I was sitting up in my quiet room waiting, and my husband told me, was listening to the radio, was listening to you talk about feng shui.
Okay.
So I have no idea what you said.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I was winging it, okay? What I had been talking about, well, you know, I was trying to explain to everybody what feng shui was, certainly not being to the expertise that you are. And I explained to them, you know, I'm going to tell you what I know. But, Maggie, you know, maybe you'd like to just take a moment here. Well, certainly let me tell everybody about you, okay, because I kind of left that out of the introduction. So I apologize for the chaos. Personally, this is a 5-day. It's the 23rd, okay? The unexpected happens on a 5-day. You always have to have a plan B, and I'm not the least bit surprised that we had a mix-up here at the beginning of the show because it's a 5-day and these things happen. So let me tell the listeners a little bit about you, okay, before we get into this. Now, Maggie has studied metaphysics and alternative healing for over 20 years, in addition to certification in Feng Shui by the Feng Shui Institute of New Zealand. Her education includes a BA in psychology, Reiki 3, body electronics, nutritional counseling, aromatherapy, ear candling, and angel reading. She currently conducts psychic card readings, private feng shui consultations, and teaches feng shui and organizing. And Maggie, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. I made it.
You made it. And I just want to bring up really quick at the top of the show that you have, if for those of you that are in the listening, they're listening, they're in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, that Maggie has a workshop that's coming up Sunday, March 29th. From 1 to 4 in Camp Hill, PA, and she's going to be teaching all about creating peaceful places using feng shui. And this is a seminar that is put on by VickiFoxProductions.com, and Vicky is absolutely wonderful. Her seminars are fantastic. I did one for her on numerology last week. Such wonderful people come to Vicky's productions. So if you're interested in possibly checking this out, please see www.VickiFoxProductions.com, or you can call Vicky at 717-774-1275, and hopefully you'll be very busy next week.
Yes, and the workshop, it's a great workshop if you really want to learn a little bit more and be able to apply it yourself. We pack a lot of information into 3 hours, and it's a lot of fun. As you probably know, you can know enough to be dangerous about feng shui, but you can really learn enough to really apply it to your house. And and Vicky, she puts on a great workshop every time.
She does. So. Well, I'll give you a little rundown on the things I discussed so far. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Red doors and red plants by doors. I talked about water features, keeping your stove clean, and I was just about to jump on the wind chime. So I'm really happy you're here.
You weren't running out of things to say, I'm sure, because there's so much information out there. And
I think one of the really nice things, I mean, certainly one of the first things you would want to do is actually to have you come, I mean, because I was actually, when I was researching today, and understanding how one goes about finding out where the various different corners are of your house are according to the compass, the north, south, east, and west, northwest, northeast, you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, I have to hire this girl to come tell me because I am like an idiot with a compass. But first off, you want to kind of know where your corners in your house are, correct?
Yes, and that's a good point to bring up right away, because there's actually different schools of feng shui. So, and the one that I mainly practice, which is called the Western School of Feng Shui, and I call it kind of a more watered down version. It actually doesn't use the compass. We use the Bagua map, but you don't necessarily use the direction. Some people don't like that, especially if they've learned to do it the direction wise. But what I find is it works.
Right.
So, that's what I like to use.
Right.
And it also makes it easier to find those corners for us, because we take the map, which you can find in any good book on feng shui, and you place it on the entrance quadrant of the room, and then those corners will show up. But if you are using the compass method, which I'm also schooled in and can do and have done for myself, it can be a little tricky. It can be a little tricky, but you just need a good compass, and you need the Bagua map that shows the directions.
Right. Well, because it's really important when you're running around placing these things that you put them in the right place, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Every place within your house uses the map, and each place on the map represents a different part of our lives.
Right. But there are. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we want to, you know, at different times we might be working on a certain area that we want to enhance, or we realize that we need to clear that area out, and so we need to know where that is in the house.
Sure. Well, one of the rules of thumb, and what I was explaining to everyone, that clutter was a huge issue in general all over the house. I mean, that's the one thing I think that feng shui really, you know, stresses, to declutter your home, to keep the energy flowing in the house, right?
Definitely. It's the number one rule of feng shui. It's really difficult to do any kind of enhancement or any kind of feng shui if you've got clutter everywhere.
Right.
Because let's say you put a crystal up to enhance the energy in a corner and you got a pile of papers there, well, you're just enhancing and expanding the mess.
Right.
So first rule is clutter. And I always like to start my class on clutter asking if anybody has no clutter. Because we all have it,
right?
and it's a process of getting, you know, keeping it under control. Particularly, I think in our society, because we are collectors and we like things, and it's about taking care of the things that we have and keeping them clean and using what's really necessary and what we love, and not having so much.
Right. Right.
So.
Right. Well, I was.
So we could do a whole class on clutter.
Right. Well, I was saying that I have a husband with an office downstairs, and I have a stepson with a bedroom. And actually, there's nothing I can do to fix what's down there. I almost feel as though I have to blow up both rooms. You know, it's just every other place in the house is about as minimal as possible. But I cannot control certain rooms in my house. What do I do?
Well, you know,
get rid of the husband and the stepson.
That's kind of like life, you know. You have people in your life that you can't control them, and they have to. What I tell people to do is you teach best by example, and you teach them the principles. Maybe explaining that. Well, do you realize that your room is in the wealth corner of our home, particularly if you're having any kind of financial difficulties? And do you realize that you know, this is the area that represents your health? And you see what it looks like. It looks messy, and it's dirty, and the plant is dying. And I find that that's what works best. That impresses people.
Right.
And if I enhance a corner, if I enhance my wealth corner with a beautiful green plant and you know, some coins and wrapped in red paper, which is, you know, expands the money coming to you, and we find that week that we got an extra check that we weren't expecting, then people listen to you.
Right.
They listen to the results.
Right. So
that's what I try to do. Because
right.
Just like anything, you know, you want someone to stop a bad habit. You can't
okay.
do it for them. So.
Well, I've got one of the biggest okay. questions. Toilet seat up?
Okay.
Toilet seat down?
Toilet seat down.
Down and door closed to the bathroom?
Close the bathroom doors. You see, what we have with the bathrooms is we have water pipes leading out. We have water flowing. And anytime we have a flow, which is a lot of what feng shui is about, is the flow of energy. It's flowing out. It's flowing away.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try to stop it. We want to try to slow the flow down. We want energy to flow to us and stay with us for a while and then flow away when it's stagnant. So toilet seats down. And I have a little trick that I do in the bathrooms for the sinks, because it's hard to keep those covered. I'll put like a little shell over the sink so the water can still get down.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of hides the flow a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of blocks it a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's always been
definitely.
One. So everybody that's
listening. That's a hard one for people.
Everybody that's listening, run around and close your toilet seats and close the bathroom doors and then come back and listen to the rest of the show. Okay?
There you go.
And I was talking about little bells. Like I have a string of bells on a red cord on my front door so that when it jingles when you come in. And I was explaining to people, you oftentimes see this when you go to shops and the little
yes.
bell tinkles when you walk into the shop, and there's a reason for that, right?
Well, and there's practical reasons, and that's what's so great about feng shui is there's a lot of practicality to it. If you're in a shop and someone opens the door, you hear the bells. And
sure.
You hear them come in, but it also brings energy with it. Anytime there's movement, anytime you have something that creates movement, you're moving the energy around.
Mm-hmm.
And the color red, draws energy. It's a bright color. It attracts energy to you, which is, of course, what you want in a shop. You want energy to come in, and you want it to be moving around. And those are things that do. Oftentimes, bells are shiny. The shininess of the bells is reflective. So that reflects energy, and that's a valuable thing as well.
Right. And this is the reason why you will see red doors, and also when a really good thing to do is to actually plant some planters with red flowers on either side of your door.
Exactly, the red, the color red, as we said. And in the traditional feng shui, in traditional Chinese feng shui, the color red is considered a lucky color.
Right.
And culturally that might be different than than our culture, but it's still a very strong symbol.
Right.
Red is lucky, and it attracts energy, and I'll tell you what, that works.
Right.
If you have a business, you put some red flowers on either side, you balance it by putting one on each side, because mm-hmm. balance is important in your energy. And I've had several clients who have done just that and attracted new clients and new customers to them within a week or two.
See. So there you go. And in these times, you know, in these times with tricky finances and stuff, we need all the help we can get, right?
Yeah, we need to do what we can. And that's one of the great things about feng shui. That's something that you do have control over. And as you, I think I did hear a little bit of what you were saying, we don't have to actually spend a lot of money on this.
No.
A lot of it has to do with just moving around what we already have.
Right.
Taking things that we already love and clearing out some stuff that isn't useful anymore.
I know one thing that... Right. One thing that I did was I read that having a mirror opposite your dining room table, and then if you were to take a bowl of fruit and put it on your table, that the mirror reflects the prosperity or the food on the table and more or less doubles it, and so that's supposed to be a really good thing in your dining room. It was a very easy thing to do. I just found a mirror in the house that was in a place that really wasn't doing anything, and I put it in the dining room across so it reflects across from the table, and you know, just put fruit on the table, and you know, I found that to be, you know, a very easy thing to do. It wasn't that hard.
And exactly. And did it work for you? Did you notice something?
Well, I don't know, because we had an influx of turtles, and I can't even begin to tell you. It was kind of like a big major feng shui overhaul in the house of just going around and thinking about it. And actually, business for me, you know, financially, my husband is. Got a job, and numerology does, you know, very well for me. So, you know, I don't have issues. I see the abundance. There's always food. You know, I just feel that these things are all part of that.
And they keep it flowing. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And I was also, one thing that we're doing terribly wrong, but I have to convince my husband, so I will play this back for him.
Okay.
Our beloved dog, Gus, passed away, and we had him cremated, and of course I can't even begin to tell you how much we love this dog, and they put it in this beautiful box for us. My husband can't get past it being in my living room, and I was, one of the feng shui books that I had been reading was to never, never, never do that, but I did put a crystal on top of it. But I don't know, am I in big trouble?
Well, that's interesting. I always tell everybody in my classes that, and every time I teach a class, somebody will say something to me like, I read it in a book, and it will be something completely new to me that I've never heard of. There's that much information out there. And
right.
What you just said, I haven't specifically heard, but it makes sense because of the energy. And that's the thing I like about feng shui, is it really makes sense when you just think of things in terms of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've done also, Allison, is you put a crystal on top, which expands the energy.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so I would find some way to, until you're ready to let that go, or your husband, shall we say, to make it more subdued and more hidden.
I'll take the crystal off. All right. And I'll have a chat with my husband. All right. That sounds good. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about all the single ladies out there that
are looking for love.
Where's some advice? Okay. Give them some advice. What do they do? How do they feng shui some love into their life?
Well, it's amazing how many homes I'll go into to do a consultation for. And I can tell by walking around and looking at that area of the Bagua what the areas of the Bhagwa, what they're dealing with in their life, just by seeing what they have a lack of or where they have most of their clutter. And oftentimes it is in love. And it's amazing to me that what I'll find is in the love area, which I can just explain using Western feng shui, is the far right-hand corner of any room from the entrance, from standing at the entrance and looking into the room, the far right-hand corner, that's your love and marriage area. A lot of times people will have photos or pictures of women by themselves, of a single woman,
mm-hmm.
which is very symbolic of being alone, obviously. And feng shui is a lot about symbols and how they talk, how items and objects speak to us, what they mean to us on a subconscious level, but just even a quite literal level. And, you know, obviously that's not what they want. If they're looking for love, they don't want to be alone. So ideally we would replace that with a photo or a picture of a pair of something.
Mm-hmm.
Two people together or two birds or even just two candlesticks representing a pair.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors pink and red and white are all bring love to you, energy to you.
Right. How about peonies?
Peonies are great, a flower that are often used for that in that corner traditionally in feng shui. And of course the colors of them attract that and draw that. Any kind of other flowers that represent romance.
Right.
Great as well.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. There's some advice for love. I know that, actually I've had some people talk to me about that and actually repaint, you know, some rooms. So, good luck with, bringing some love into your life using a little bit of feng shui. Let's talk a little bit about, crystals because, you know, I understand that a crystal hanging here or there, especially in corners or where there's not a lot of flow of energy, that that helps to keep the energy flowing. So, you know, where would you place a crystal? I mean, would it just be in any given corner or specific corners?
Well, crystals are a great feng shui tool. A lot of us have them around.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy. You can hang them, like you say, especially when there's maybe not wall space. They're great to hang in windows because they're pretty and they expand the light. You also have to be a little careful with crystals, with what we were talking about before, because they expand energy. So in our world, we have, you know, chi, which is the good energy, and we have the sha, which is the negative energy, and we don't want to be expanding the sha.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put a crystal, maybe we could hang a crystal in our wealth corner or even set a crystal on the table in the wealth corner, which would be the far left-hand corner of the room. But if we had some sha energy coming from our neighbor's house next door,
mm-hmm.
possibly in the form of a corner of their house pointing at us, which is considered poison arrows or
mm-hmm.
sha energy, we wouldn't want to put a crystal in that window because it would actually be expanding it.
Mm-hmm.
We would actually want to do something to deflect that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be a little careful with crystals. They can be a little tricky that way.
Well, my sister sewed crystals all along, I think it was a canopy, or maybe she sewed it along the curtains in her room. And so it was very sparkly and very pretty. And her husband went to bed that night. He couldn't sleep to save his soul. And it went on for a couple of nights, and then finally she asked me about it. I said, I think that's just a few too many crystals. I think you need to get some of them out of that room. Would that have been a safe thing to say?
Yeah, because it's expanding energy, and even if there's not light coming in, there's usually a little moonlight or something, and no wonder he couldn't sleep.
He could not sleep. He was like dragon when he got up.
No wonder.
Yeah, that was really funny.
And that's a good point about bedrooms, is you want, you know, bedrooms are a different energy, so you want the objects that you have in there to reflect that. You don't paint your bedroom red. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really want to draw energy to your bedroom. You want it to be peaceful and quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say no TVs or electronics in the bedroom, or even ceiling fans. You don't want that over the bed. I think one of the most important things that I see very consistently is the positioning of the bed. And I'll let you tell everybody where they should put their bed in their bedroom.
Yeah, it really is important. And you're right. This is one of the things that I found personally, and I found for my children and the people I work with, is it makes a huge difference in how well you sleep. You want your bed to be in what's called the power position of the room. And that is the position. And it's interesting, if you put someone in an empty room, or even like in a, we use a restaurant as an example, and you tell them they can sit anywhere in the restaurant they want, everybody will tend to go towards the power position, which is the place farthest from the door, with their back to the wall, facing the door so that they can see everything. And it's the same with the bed. You want to put it on the solid wall, preferably, if you can. It can mm-hmm. be tricky. You try not to put it under a window because you want the protection behind you. It feels safer. It doesn't feel as vulnerable when you're sleeping to have a window. If you have a window there, you feel a bit vulnerable. And you want to be able to, when you're sleeping, even though you're asleep, to be able to see the door if somebody would come in. It just kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you're not startled, you're actually going to sleep more peacefully.
Right, right.
And it makes a huge difference if you, I've seen people who put their beds in the position where if you open the door, the line of energy comes straight at the bed. And that actually can affect your sleep. It can make you more restless, particularly if you already have problems with sleep.
I actually had an experience when I first moved in here. I put my bed, there was a rather large double window. So I put the bed, I positioned the bed under the window. And so that, the window was above your head. And I actually woke up with a corneal abrasion from the wind blowing in, and I apparently, my eyes got dry because they're kind of partially open when I slept or whatever, and I woke up, I thought I would have gone blind. So I can assure you that the next day that bed got moved away from those windows. So I actually had a personal experience with a bed being underneath a window. And I think another thing that was really, really funny in this house is when you have like a 12-year-old stepson and you pick up your first feng shui book and then you're assessing your house and you walk into his room and his bed board is directly against the bathroom. And so now you have to explain to the stepson why you need to rearrange his room, because it's not good for him to have sleep with his bed board against the bathroom. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's exactly true. You have a bathroom where you have water pipes and things flowing. That's energy flowing, and you don't want that. You don't want your body against that while you're sleeping.
Right.
Because that energy comes through the wall and it affects you.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. Definitely.
Oh, he had a fit.
Isn't it fun to explain to them?
Oh, he thought I had lost my mind. But I just said, let me help you, and we're going to move your bed. It's going to be so cool. And, after much ado about nothing, I finally got the bed moved. But, boy, was that a tough sell. So, anyhow, what I'm going to do, Maggie, is I'm just going to remind our listeners about the program and give them some toll-free numbers to call in. Maybe somebody's out there and they've got a feng shui question or two for you. And I certainly want you to be able to give them some advice, so I'm going to give out the toll-free numbers. My guest this evening is Maggie Salter, and she is a feng shui expert. So if you've got a question about your home, your business, and how to use feng shui to maybe help you with your well-being and happiness and abundance in your home, you're more than welcome to call into the show. The toll-free numbers are USA 877-876-5227. You can call toll-free from Canada at 888-815-9756. And you certainly can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. Okay. I thought one thing that I read today that was adorable, and I just want to, this is just a shout out because I'm an animal lover, and of course you heard my little Roxy girl having a conniption fit just a little while ago. she was not behaving tonight, but anyhow, I read today when I was doing research that if a stray dog comes to your home, that is a very lucky omen and you should adopt that dog. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I think the Humane League should have that somewhere on a poster or something.
There you go. Now, see, I had not heard that before, but it makes sense to me, and this is why. Because first of all, animals are great feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
They're living creatures, and they bring chi to your house, and it's particularly a dog. And I have heard it from other studies that I've done that dogs tend to go where there's a good energy.
Mm-hmm.
So where
so they're
the
always under
way.
My feet, so I must have the good energy then, right?
So if dog, yes, well, if the dog's come into your house and wants to be in your house, if they say when you go to a house, when you go to a new house, if you let the dog in, the room that they go to, the room that they want to be in, is the best feng shui.
Oh, well, that's
so. I don't know if that's true completely, but it makes sense to me because of dogs' energy, their unconditional love that they have, and so if a dog shows up at your door, it's probably it feels pretty good about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think I'll have to get that made up into a poster for the Humane League. That's what I think. So,
there
but you know
go.
What? We got a caller. I just heard a beep, so I'm going to stop the conversation for a second and see who's calling. Who's calling?
Hi, Vicki Fox. How are you?
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Oh, I'm enjoying the show.
You are? Good.
Yes, I am, and thank you for mentioning the workshop on Saturday. And I wondered if Maggie could share this. My computer went down for a minute, so I don't know if she already shared this, but I remember when the women in Women of Intention asked this question, and a lot of them really loved her answer. How do you spice up your bedroom life with your honey, a ray color of sheets on the bed?
Oh, okay. The color of sheets is very important for your bedroom. And as we said, and color is very important. Most people know that in feng shui, there's certain rules that are followed. But when it comes to the bedroom, you think of it as a place that you want to be warm. You want it to be romantic. Maybe you want it to be real hot too. But you don't want cool colors in there, because that cools the relationship down. That's a very relaxing color. Of course, you don't, as we said before, you don't want red in the bedroom because you are going to be sleeping in there as well. So what Catherine Tara Collins suggests in her book, The Western Guide to Feng Shui, is to use colors that are skin tone colors. And if you think of the skin tone, it can all the colors of around the world, it can go anywhere from like a pale peach pink to all the way to like an aubergine color. They're all very warm. But that's what's very important, to keep the warmth in the relationship. Very symbolic, very literal.
Right. And another thing about keeping the loved life in your bedroom is not to keep pictures of your children in your bedroom, but to keep pictures of just you and your husband in your bedroom.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the bedroom in a marriage and a partnership should reflect what it's used for. And the children can kind of distract you from that.
Right.
You can have, there's other places that it's better for that to be.
What
and
about
you think about sometimes pictures like staring at you and looking at you, that's a little uncomfortable.
Right. What about rose quartz in the bedroom?
Excellent place for the bedroom or any place where we have a relationship corner. Rose quartz is a perfect stone for that. That's one of the things I love about doing simple, and is you can just take something simple like that, like a little quartz crystal, and you can put it in your corner for a quick enhancement if you don't have a lot of time, or if you just are trying to do something, quickly.
Right.
Rose quartz in the bedroom is excellent.
Right. Well, good. Well, we do want to spice up our love life. I'm going to have to go out and buy some new sheets now, though. So
uh-huh.
I know you're not supposed to use, like, geometric prints and wild, crazy things on your bed. You're supposed to be more subtle, right?
And the Chinese actually teach us not to use white sheets, traditional feng shui, because in China, white is the color of mourning. White is the color that they use when someone dies. And so white, that's what that represents to them. That's kind of a hard concept for a lot of Westerners to understand, because we associate white with cleanliness and clean.
Right.
But I do like to listen to the traditional rules, because they have a deep meaning, and I believe.
Right.
So I do try to follow that.
Oh, now I've got to go shopping. Darn it. All right. All right, Vicki.
Thanks a lot. Buy a couple of things.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Vicki.
Vicki.
Well, that must be interesting when people, you must get all kinds of questions, don't you?
Yeah, that's what keeps it going. It's hard to fit it all into a short space of time, because there are so many questions, and sometimes there's some contradictions.
Right.
And that's what people get confused about. They'll say, you know, I read this book, but I'm supposed to put this in this corner, but then I'm not supposed to do that. And what that's the tricky part. That's the tricky part of feng shui. But really, what you do is you just follow the rule that is the most harmful. If it's more harmful to do that, then you follow the other rule.
Right.
That's how it's practical. It's actually very practical.
Well,
feng shui is.
I must ask you, because the location of the bathrooms in a home are very pivotal, and they're very, from what I've read, which I have like several feng shui books, you know, it's very, very specific about where these bathrooms should or should not be located. Now, if you happen to have a bathroom that's located in a very bad place, well, let's say, for instance, above your front door or across from your kitchen, what do you do? Because you've got this, there are fixes or cures in feng shui, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you?
There are fixes.
Other than moving out, what's the cure?
There's a fix and cure for almost everything. But some are just a lot harder to fix and cure. Now, the traditional fix or cure for the bathroom above the front door is to try to deflect the negative energy that's above you as you walk in. And I say negative energy, it's Sha energy because it's water flowing out. And the way that you can do that is you can use a bright light that points up, that hopefully is helpful pushing some of that energy back up.
Mm-hmm.
That is the traditional cure that's used for that. You can also always try to cure an area by using a balancing technique. Feng Shui teaches that there's five elements in the universe, and different shapes and colors are represented by those five elements. And so if you have an overall balance, that helps to balance negativity and negative energy. So we would try to bring in, since the water is the primary element in the bathroom, we would try to make sure we brought in some of the other elements to combat that.
Right. Okay.
So everything does have a cure, but there's some things that, you know, if you can prevent it, if you have a choice whether you're going to buy a house that has a backyard that slopes down,
mm-hmm.
or a backyard that has a kind of a protective area in the back, I would choose the second one. I would choose the protective area, because the sloping down, you can cure it, but it's not, it requires your attention. It's not as easy as some other cures.
Oh, well, now, I'm telling you. Now I have to tell my husband the house is on the market. Okay. He's going to love it.
You can cure it. This is how you can create your barrier. You can put wind chimes in your tree, which lifts the energy up. You can do what we just talked about by putting lights outside that lift the energy up.
Okay.
So there always are cures.
Okay, good. Well, then I'll try to... Okay. I always laugh because it was like when I read the book, I went, oh, dear. But then, you know, you just start working with things and you start putting things in different places and whatever. Let's talk about the poison arrows and specifically furniture. And feng shui would tell us to try to buy our furniture in a round shape or octagon shape as opposed to having sharp edges. Can you explain all of that? And if you do have such furniture, what is the rule of placement? And certainly, if you can't help but where the piece is, what can you do to more or less be the cure for having some sharp edges pointed at your head, so to speak?
Well, you know, once again, it's a practical thing. You know, if you think if you buy a piece of furniture that's quite sharp, and even they make up some of these coffee tables with quite pointed edges or even glass edges, it can be quite dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a very practical point of view. So if you also think about those edges or corners as being energetic arrows that point out, wherever someone might be sitting in that vicinity, they're going to be receiving that kind of energy pointed at them. What you'll find is in a seating area in a living room, for example, people will tend not to sit in that, because even though a lot of people don't feel like they're that sensitive, We are sensitive to our environments, and we do unconsciously feel those things. So what you want to do is in your placement, if you do have any furniture that has the corners, you want to try to point those and place the furniture so that those are pointed where nobody might be sitting, where mm-hmm. it's pointing into often to the corner where, you know, there's just maybe a table or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And try to do the round edges. Try to round the room out by placing your furniture in the corners and not have it just flush up against the walls.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it more comfortable. It makes it more inviting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what it feels like to walk into a room that just really feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really quite sure why, but it
right.
feels good, and often it's because it has good feng shui.
Right, right. Exactly. I read somewhere that you could put a doily or a plant on such a piece of furniture, and that is a cure?
Anything that's soft like that will literally soften it. You know, the corner of a piece of furniture, you could put the doily, you could put a throw or a pillow, anything that in and of itself is soft will
mm-hmm.
soften it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there's always ways to make it feel better and make it the energy flow better.
Right, and you also like your seating area. Well, let's say your couch. You would kind of want to position it to face the front door.
Yes, once again, it has to do with the power position
mm-hmm.
of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I love the look of when you walk into a room, how there's a couch in the middle of the room with a back facing it, with maybe a table there.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find if you do have your living room set up that way, that people tend not to sit in that because nobody really likes to have their back to the door and not be able to see who's coming in.
Right, right. That's true.
You know, it feels uncomfortable.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can do it for a decorating purpose, but
mm-hmm.
you just be aware that you're probably not going to sit there.
Right.
Most people aren't going to want to sit there.
Now, plants, just in general, because I know there's so much to feng shui, and we're probably not even getting anywhere close to it, but we're just trying to throw some ideas out there to people of different ways that they can enhance their spaces and create good chi and good energy. The use of plants
uh-huh.
in your house. Maybe give them some information on that.
Well, plants are, as you say, because they're living, they bring in that energy of life and living. And anytime you want to enhance an area, a plant is one of the great ways to do that. And since we often use plants anyway, it might just be a matter of moving the plant to a different corner. Now, the key with the plants is that we want them to be obviously attractive and healthy. I mean, they literally need to be living and alive and
mm-hmm.
flush. It's very hard for some people who like to take care of sick plants. And
mm-hmm.
And people get really mad at me when I tell them you need to throw your plant out if it's dead or
mm-hmm.
if it's almost dying and not healthy because it's actually bringing you negative chi. One of the things that I found out that is sometimes if a plant dies almost for no reason, and this happens sometimes, it's because it's absorbed negative energy
mm-hmm.
and it's actually maybe protected its inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
So you bless the plant on its way and you get a new one, healthier one.
Right.
It's important that the plant doesn't have like the poison arrows, which would be
cactus.
Cactus.
Mm-hmm.
Anything sharp pointing, particularly
mm-hmm.
if it's going to be near where someone's sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And cactus lovers don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
People start to get mad at you when you tell them some of the feng shui rules because they
right.
realize that they have things going on in their house that they might like. If you want to enhance your wealth and blessings area, it's good to have a plant that has very rounded leaves because
mm-hmm.
that symbolizes round like money and coins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of my funniest...
Plants are excellent.
Funniest stories is my husband had it actually was a blue spruce tree. It was a small tree. And he said
mm-hmm.
that he wanted to turn it into a bonsai. And I said, it's a pine tree. It's not a bonsai. And he insisted that he wanted to. And I kept looking at this tree. And it was just dying in the house. So I finally took it out on the deck. And I was trying to give it water and light. And all I really wanted to do was save the tree. But my husband kept insisting
mm-hmm.
it was going to be a bonsai. Well, finally, we came home from a 3-day weekend, and somehow the wind had blown the tree off the deck. Now, mind you, my deck is up almost tree level, so it's quite a long haul. And
uh-huh.
he came out on the deck. He goes, "Where's the tree?" And I leaned over the deck, and I go, "Oh, my God. It did not want to be a bonsai so bad that it committed suicide." And there was a tree. So I took the tree. And I made them dig a hole, and I took the tree, and I put it into the ground, and to this day, it's one of my most pleasurable things to see this beautiful, lovely, healthy, growing, and doing what it was meant to do, be a pine tree out in the side yard. So anyhow, that's one of my favorite stories about
a pine tree, not a bonsai tree.
It's not a bonsai, Sam. So anyhow, that was one of the funniest stories with this house. But, you know, I've got a husband that will drive anybody nuts, so there you go. One more quick question, or anyhow, I think this is kind of a cute thing that I read today, and this goes along with the lines of single, being single. It says clear out one of your dresser drawers and leave some empty hangers in the closet and keep an extra toothbrush in the bathroom. It'll demonstrate you're willing to share your space with someone special, and your romantic prospects will soar. What do you think, Maggie?
Say that one again. Say the beginning part of that again. I missed
that. If you're single, clear out one of your dresser drawers, leave some empty hangers in the closet, and keep a toothbrush on hand, an extra one in the bathroom.
Great. That's just my mother's advice to me all my life was nature abhors a vacuum.
Right.
And so you're creating space.
Right.
That always works.
Right. Well, Maggie,
and you're also doing something else that you're just creating an intention for it, Allison.
That's true.
And that's a lot of what Feng Shui is about. You're creating intentions within your space for what you want.
Right. Maggie, give everybody a contact number or an email address so in the event that they might want to get a hold of you.
I will. I have, I actually have my website up and running thanks to you, actually, Allison. It's www.maggiesalter.com. It has all of my contact information, my schedule, and a little bit about Feng Shui and my fees.
Okay. All right, because you know what? We hit the end of an hour. And even though you were a little late getting here, I'm just so glad that you did, because we would not have wanted me to babble Feng Shui the whole hour, because we needed the expert. So thank you so much for joining us, Maggie. I really appreciate you're coming. I know it was a last-minute invitation, but I appreciate you being gracious and joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much. And I'll be back again next week, Monday night. I think we have Dr. Kevin back, and we're going to be talking about pendulums. So stay tuned for that show. Good night, Maggie. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.